Little Eleanor was nearly 6 months old, and 1421 had passed to its autumn when Frodo called Sam into the study. "It'll be Bilbo's birthday on Thursday, Sam," he said, "and he'll pass the old took. He'll be 131."
"So he will," said Sam. "He's a marvel."
"Well, Sam," said Frodo, "I want you to see Rose and find out if she can spare you, so that you and I can go off together. You can't go far, or for a long time now, of course," he said a little wistfully.
"Well, not very well, Mr. Frodo."
"Of course not. But never mind. You can see me on my way. Tell Rose that you won't be away very long, not more than a fortnight, and you'll come back quite safe."
"I wish I could go all the way with you to Rivendell, Mr. Frodo, and see Mr. Bilbo," said Sam. "And yet the only place I really want to be in is here. I am that torn in two."
"Poor Sam."
"It will feel like that, I'm afraid," said Frodo.
"But you'll be healed. You were meant to be solid and whole, and you will be." In the next day or two, Frodo went through his papers and his writings with Sam, and he handed over his keys. There was a big book with plain red leather covers. Its tall pages were now almost filled. At the beginning, there were many leaves covered with Bilbo's thin, wandering hand, but most of it was written in Frodo's firm, flowing script. It was divided into chapters, but chapter 80 was unfinished, and after that were some blank leaves. The title page had many titles on it, crossed out one after another, so: "My Diary," "My Unexpected Journey," "There and Back Again," and "What Happened After?" "Adventures of Five Hobbits," "The Tale of the Great Ring, compiled by Bilbo Baggins from his own observations and the accounts of his friends," "What We Did in the War of the Ring." Here Bilbo's hand ended, and Frodo had written, "The Downfall of the Lord of the Rings and the Return of the King, as seen by the Little People, being the memoirs of Bilbo and Frodo of the Shire, supplemented by the accounts of their friends and the learning of the wise, together with extracts from books of lore translated by Bilbo in Rivendell."
"Why, you've nearly finished it, Mr. Frodo," Sam exclaimed. "Well, you have kept at it, I must say."
"I have quite finished, Sam," said Frodo. "The last pages are for you." On September the 21st they set out together, Frodo on the pony that had borne him all the way from Minas Tirith, and was now called Strider, and Sam on his beloved Bill. It was a fair golden morning, and Sam did not ask where they were going. He thought he could guess. They took the stock road over the hills and went towards the woody end, and they let their ponies walk at their leisure. They camped in the green hills, and on September the 22nd they rode gently down into the beginning of the trees as afternoon was wearing away.
"If that isn't the very tree you hid behind when the Black Rider first showed up, Mr. Frodo," said Sam, pointing to the left. "It seems like a dream now."
It was evening, and the stars were glimmering in the eastern sky as they passed the ruined oak, and turned and went on down the hill between the hazel thickets. Sam was silent, deep in his memories. Presently he became aware that Frodo was singing softly to himself, singing the old walking song, but the words were not quite the same.
"Still round the corner there may wait a new road or a secret gate, and though I oft have passed them by, a day will come at last when I shall take the hidden paths that run west of the moon, east of the sun."
And, as if in answer, from down below, coming up the road out of the valley, voices sang,
A elber eskil thodiel, silivren pena miriel, omenel agla elenas. Gil thodiel, a elberes, we still remember we who dwell in this far land beneath the trees, the starlight on the western seas.
Frodo and Sam halted and sat silent in the soft shadows until they saw a shimmer as the travellers came towards them. There was Gildor and many fair elven folk, and there, to Sam's wonder, rode Elrond and Galadriel. Elrond wore a mantle of grey, and had a star upon his forehead, and a silver harp was in his hand, and upon his finger was a ring of gold, with a great blue stone, Velia, mightiest of the three. But Galadriel sat upon a white palfrey, and was robed all in glimmering white, like clouds about the moon, for she herself seemed to shine with a soft light. On her finger was Nenya, the ring wrought of Mithril, that bore a single white stone flickering like a frosty star. Riding slowly behind on a small grey pony, and seeming to nod in his sleep, was Bilbo himself. Elrond greeted them gravely and graciously, and Galadriel smiled upon them. "Well, Master Samwise," she said, "I hear and see that you have used my gift well. The Shire shall now be more than ever blessed and beloved." Sam bowed, but found nothing to say. He had forgotten how beautiful the lady was. Then Bilbo woke up and opened his eyes.
"Hello, Frodo," he said. "Well, I've passed the old Took today, so that's settled. And now I think I'm quite ready to go on another journey. Are you coming?"
"Yes, I'm coming," said Frodo. "The ring-bearers should go together."
"Where are you going, master?"
cried Sam, though at last he understood what was happening. "To the Havens, Sam," said Frodo.
"And I can't come?"
"No, Sam, not yet anyway. Not further than the Havens. Though you too were a ring-bearer, if only for a little while, your time may come. Don't be too sad, Sam. You can't be always torn in two. You'll have to be one and whole for many years. You've so much to enjoy and to be and to do."
"But,"
said Sam, and tears started in his eyes,
"I thought you were going to enjoy the Shire too, for years and years, after all you've done."
"So I thought to, once. But I've been too deeply hurt, Sam. I tried to save the Shire, and it has been saved. But not for me. It must often be so, Sam, when things are in danger. Someone has to give them up, lose them, so that others may keep them. But you're my heir. All that I had and might have had I leave to you. And also you have Rose and Eleanor, and Frodo Lad will come, and Rosie Lass, and Merry, and Goldilocks, and Pippin, and perhaps more that I cannot see. Your hands and your wits will be needed everywhere. You will be the mayor, of course, as long as you want to be, and the most famous gardener in history, and you will read things out of the Red Book, and keep alive the memory of the age that is gone, so that people will remember the great danger, and so love their beloved land all the more. And that will keep you as busy and as happy as anyone can be, as long as your part of the story goes on. Come now, ride with me." Then Elrond and Galadriel rode on, for the Third Age was over, and the days of the rings were past, and an end was come of the story and song of those times. With them went many elves of the high kindred who would no longer stay in Middle-earth, and among them, filled with a sadness that was yet blessed and without bitterness, rode Sam and Frodo and Bilbo, and the elves delighted to honour them. Though they rode through the midst of the Shire all the evening and all the night, none saw them pass, save the wild creatures, or here and there some wanderer in the dark, who saw a swift shimmer under the trees, or a light and shadow flowing through the grass as the moon went westward. And when they had passed from the Shire, going about the south skirts of the White Downs, they came to the Far Downs, and to the Towers, and looked on the distant sea, and so they rode down at last to Mithlond, to the grey havens and the long firth of Loon. As they came to the gates, Círdan the shipwright came forth to greet them. Very tall he was, and his beard was long, and he was grey and old, save that his eyes were keen as stars, and he looked at them and bowed and said,
"All is now ready."
Then Círdan led them to the havens, and there was a white ship lying, and upon the quay, beside a great grey horse, stood a figure robed all in white awaiting them. As he turned and came towards them, Frodo saw that Gandalf now wore openly upon his hand the third ring, Narjar the Great, and the stone upon it was red as fire. Then those who were to go were glad, for they knew that Gandalf also would take ship with them. But Sam was now sorrowful at heart, and it seemed to him that if the parting would be bitter, more grievous still would be the long road home alone. But even as they stood there, and the elves were going aboard, and all was being made ready to depart, up rode Merry and Pippin in great haste, and amid his tears Pippin laughed. "You tried to give us the slip once before and failed, Frodo," he said. "This time you've nearly succeeded, but you have failed again. It was not Sam, though, that gave you away this time, but Gandalf himself."
"Yes," said Gandalf, "for it will be better to ride back three together than one alone. Well, here at last, dear friends, on the shores of the sea, comes the end of our fellowship in Middle-earth. Go in peace. I will not say, do not weep, for not all tears are an evil."
Then Frodo kissed Merry and Pippin, and last of all Sam, and went aboard, and the sails were drawn up, and the wind blew, and slowly the ship slipped away down the long grey firth, and the light of the glass of Galadriel that Frodo bore glimmered and was lost. And the ship went out into the high sea, and passed on into the west, until at last, on a night of rain, Frodo smelled a sweet fragrance on the air, and heard the sound of singing that came over the water. And then it seemed to him that, as in his dream in the house of Bombadil, the grey rain curtain turned all to silver glass and was rolled back, and he beheld white shores and beyond them a far green country under a swift sunrise. But to Sam the evening deepened to darkness as he stood on the haven, and as he looked at the grey sea, he saw only a shadow on the waters that was soon lost in the west. There still he stood far into the night, hearing only the sigh and murmur of the waves on the shores of Middle-earth, and the sound of them sank deep into his heart. Beside him stood Merry and Pippin, and they were silent. At last the three companions turned away, and never again looking back, they rode slowly homewards, and they spoke no word to one another until they came back to the Shire, but each had great comfort in his friends on the long grey road. At last they rode over the downs and took the east road, and then Merry and Pippin rode on to Buckland, and already they were singing again as they went. But Sam turned to Bywater, and so came back up the hill as day was ending once more. And he went on, and there was yellow light and fire within, and the evening meal was ready, and he was expected, and Rose drew him in, and set him in his chair, and put little Eleanor upon his lap. He drew a deep breath.
"Well, I'm back," he said.
The End. You've been listening to The Return of the King, the third and final book of The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien, narrated by Robert Inglis.